There's no cliche when I grew up. And my folks used to say it, and I know a lot of people used to say it. The devil made me do it. Did you ever stop to think? You let the devil make you do it. He didn't make you do it. You let him. You let the devil get a hold of you. That's what I like to talk about a little about this morning. Refresh our minds and memories about what we let the devil get to us over. Remember what Jesus told the Apostle Peter? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Luke 22:31. Do we let him do that to us? Control our lives? Get in, change what we're supposed to be doing? Control what we think, what we say, what we do? Stop and think about that. The devil also desires to have us be sober, vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, wanders about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. He don't want the ones he don't have. He wants us that he doesn't have. If he can make us stumble and do something to offend another member, that's what he's up to. Sadly, the devil often succeeds in these devious tricks and maneuvers to get us to stumble. We're made to glorify God, but sometimes the devil causes us to stumble and do things we don't realize we're doing to each other. We have to be constantly alert and vigilant, lest we fall in the clutches of our great enemy, Satan. We don't realize, people forget to realize that he's out there 24-8, not 24-7, he's out there 24-8. Trying to cause you to stumble. Do something wrong. Bring reproach upon him, upon the church, not upon him, or cause another fellow member to stumble. We talked about that in class this morning in our adult class about the Cretans. What Paul sent Titus to teach and control against. Sometimes I think members of the Church of Christ feel they have nothing to fear from Satan. How wrong. As a child of God, he's the one you want. You need to fear anything and anybody that can cause you to stumble. Paul talked to the Christians at Corinth. That no advantage be given you by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. We know his devices. Satan knows everything we do as well as God does. Any little weakness each of us has, a different weakness in life, the devil knows it. And the place that you're strong, he'll never work on. But any weakness we have, that's where he works. Try to cause trouble and discontent and discord. If you let your guard down for a half a second, Satan's right there trying to grab it. There's thoughts and some things I like to kind of mention a little bit about that in an article I read. Talking about the devil controlling things. By the way, this talk comes out of excerpts out of an article written in 1996. Devil's still there, just like he was then. But this is an article I read back then, I've kept and used. I'm using it now as a lesson. Satan tries to control the body of Christ through suspicion, jealousy, a lack of brotherly love. those three things he's trying to cause each of us to do in our everyday walk of life. He will say, if he succeeds in breaking that yoke to Christ, he'll bind us into his way of thinking. Ephesians 4 and 3 is written that give diligence to the keeping of the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace with God. Any of you that have been in the military, been overseas, you know that an army, if it's splintered by factions, it goes in disarray. It cannot solve a purpose. It will falter. It will be controlled and be destroyed. That's what the devil is trying to do to the army of Christ. To infiltrate it so that he can destroy it. The devil knows all this, and he's working on it every day and night, trying to work his wills in. Nothing helps Satan more than animosity between those who profess loyalty to Christ. Hard feelings and bad times between them. Nothing. 1 Corinthians 7:35 tells us that. Nothing Satan loves better. Talk about military-wise, having been in the military, as far as discipline, the German army was 1,000 times better than we were. But all you had to do was get rid of their leader and they were like a bunch of chickens. They scattered. The Americans are so individualistic, we would do something down to the lowest man, which kept us alive. That's the way we need to be with Christ and God. Down to the last man away from the devil. Because he's there trying to cause us all to stumble each and every day. Stop to think about what Christ prayed just before his crucifixion. That they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. John 17:21. Wants everybody to be one in Christ. That's what Paul taught. That's what he was trying to teach Titus for the island of Crete. That's what we need today yet. To be one in Christ. Proverbs 6:19. Job comes up with this good thought. He that soweth discord among the brethren, God hates. Stop and think about that. He that soweth discord among the brethren, God hates. I sure don't want to be in that place. On the other hand, God says, behold how good, how pleasant if it for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalms 133:1. That's what God wants. Don't want the devil causing us trouble. Such unity will form a solid wall against the devil that will always be able to overcome him. If God be for us, who can be against us? For we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:31. In other words, we should never allow Satan any room in our lives to operate our eternal thinking or our eternal loss. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. We elevate men to be elders in the congregation, to guide us, watch over us, to a pedestal that belongs only to God, not to man. to disrupt. When Peter came to preach the gospel of salvation to Cornelius, if you remember in Acts 10:26, he wouldn't allow Cornelius to worship him. Cornelius wanted to, but he wouldn't allow it. It's not me, it's God's word I'm bringing. In Revelation 22:8-9, even angels will not allow man to worship them. He's supposed to worship God, not them. But Satan would love to shift our devotion and our attention over to worshiping him. Thus, he would corrupt our worship, make us fall away. Allegiance, alliance to men and men's religion nationwide. Is wrong. Some of these, I like country western music, old country music, but a lot of cut stars and a lot of other rock stars, people worship them. That's the face they worship. The only thing they'll think about is that person they can think of. Instead of worshiping God, they worship the person of music. You know what the real superstars are? Abraham, Joseph, Joshua, Samuel, Jeremiah, and Paul. A lot more superstars than any musician on this earth. Because they're on the path to heaven. Most of the musicians we have on earth, it's the ones I have seen, they get into dope and all kind of stuff, and they're not a good moral person to start with. And it's worship and follow the only special one, Jesus Christ himself. Those that magnify and exalt a person on earth are unwise and unscriptural usually. Because Christ alone died for us. Did any of those musicians die for anybody on earth? No, Christ did. Never forget that point. Christ is the one that died for each and every one of us. What did Paul do when he found division among the believers at Corinth? I'm going to read this off. I can't remember scriptures. I don't remember well enough. Quote. It said, "Let there be no division among you. And each one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized into the name of Paul?" 1 Corinthians 1:10-13. None of those. Instead of exalting men, even good men, they should have been exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, not men. That's what Paul was trying to tell them. Need to go on beyond all these men that started some religion on earth, the people to follow. Go back to Jesus in Jerusalem. You might say the seed of the kingdom is not the restoration movement. It's the word of God, Luke 8:11. The seed of the kingdom is the word of God, not of the devil. You ever stop to think, if you're not a child of God, I procrastinated because you just died, just don't want to do it, that you're helping the devil? Delay is a powerful tool of the devil. How many times did Israel provoke God by delaying their obedience to his commands back in the Old Testament? I think the principle still applies to us today. Today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, Hebrews 3:15. You know, God never says obey later. He says obey now. That's Satan's message. The way later. But I like James 4:14. I think about this a lot as I got older. I used to not think about it when I was young, like young people. I didn't think about it, but now as I get older, I think about it all the time. To him, to you know not what shall be on the morrow. To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. For life is nothing but a vapor. It's here and it may not be here, and then it's 5 seconds from now. None of us might be here. We might not see tomorrow. That's how uncertain life on earth is. We're not guaranteed anything upon this earth. The way Paul taught, delay is disobedience to God. And we must recognize that to please God, we must do what Paul said. Behold, now, that is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. You know, if Satan can get you to put off doing what you know is right, he's enslaved you and he knows it. He's happy. Very happy. If we do this, we're doing like what Satan wants to do. We're doing what Paul wrote about. He says, branded in their own conscience with a hot iron, 1 Timothy 4:2. Letting Satan control them. Never delay in finding to study the Word of God or know more about it. Because tomorrow may be too late. I know young people think they'll live forever. When I was 20 years old and went in the military, I thought I would too. Didn't take long to realize that's not the way life goes. Jesus stated his life, his mission to mankind in a real simple way. In Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Mark 16, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. For the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto what? Salvation. Romans 1:16. We have been trusted, by the Lord with what's able to save the world, the word of his God, the word of his Son that he brought forth to us. The best way to help Satan is to hide your thinking about the gospel of Christ. Hide how you feel. You know, if you're selfish and unable and unwilling to spread gospel with people on earth, the devil rejoices. Stop to think about that. I know we have a lot of opportunities. We don't mention things, but it's every now and then things come up. We have an opportunity to mention something to somebody. But if we're not willing to share that, the devil rejoices if we have that opportunity. Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 1:16, Christians must be set for the defense of the gospel. Nobody's going to defend it but us. There's nobody in the world going to defend God's word but Christians. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak, to warn that wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at thine hand. Ezekiel 33:8. Strong lessons back in the Old Testament. But the New Testament embraces the same principle in Acts 20 and 26. I am pure from the blood of all men, for I shrink not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. So if we let an opportunity we know we have slip by, we've just helped Satan again. The older you get, you realize that Satan makes things this world just as popular and enjoyable as we let him. You ever stop to think about that? He makes everything as popular and enjoyable as we let him. First John, you find this in verses, second chapter, verse 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Apostle Paul added to that thought. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, not of Satan. 2 Corinthians 7:1. It's too much of the world today, instead of following Christ, to follow the sensual appetites of earth, to let that dominate their life. So them sojourn in the midst of a perverse nation. You know, there's no way that we could make somebody else live the life of Christ if we deter ourselves from that path. The Old Testament scripture says, one picture is worth 1,000 words, something like that. That's what you do. It makes a bigger impression than anything you could say. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, by following Him. Now, children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts, as in times of your ignorance, but like as He who called you to be holy, be yourselves also holy in all manners of living. 1 Peter 1:14, 15. One of the most important things to do is do all things the way God in Christ wants it to. It's how we treat each other in the church, how we conduct ourselves outside the church, how we conduct our whole lives with respect to each other in regard to Christ and God and what they want done. Error is one of the biggest things. A lot of people consider that as truth, but it's not. Satan knows that Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. But he also, Christ also said of the devil, "He standeth not in the way of truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof." John 8:44. We are saved and sanctified by the truth. John 17:17. Nothing else will do. We must always be set for defense of the gospel. Philippians 1:16. Book of Jude. We contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Think about this. We all know the day of judgment's coming. But think about what you're doing on earth today. Any troubles and trials that you're having, any misunderstandings, but think about this. It's exceedingly sad for us to come up to the day of judgment, find God to say, I don't know you, because you didn't do what I told you to. Think about that. That'd be the most saddest thing I can think of. To assist the Lord in pursuit of righteousness is a noble endeavor. May we never help the devil in any way along the way. You know, we all plan vacations, plan to do things, to make sure it's all done right and it goes right. We plan, make all kinds of plans for vacation time. Or plan big dinners, plan to do things. Why not plan for Christ first? Instead of planning to do other things and let them come in last. I'm going to close with a scripture out of Ephesians. Why not plan for God just as well as we plan for vacations and stuff? I want to read you a few verses out of the last chapter of the book of Ephesians. What Paul's writing to the Ephesian letter, and I think it still applies to us today. Starting with the 11th verse. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with a prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Think about that. Think about that. When we have troubles and trials, most of them are caused by the devil. Getting in somebody's way, somebody's mind, causing him to do something he shouldn't do. The best thing to do is go back to talk to God. Let him correct and control everything. If you're not a child of God today, now is the time. God's standing there with open arms, wanting you to be his child. Likewise, the devil stands there wanting you to come his way. But for life everlasting and eternal, the only way to go is with God, not with Satan. If you might have stumbled, need to correct yourself to God. Today is the day to do it, either one. Because we never know if we'll be here tomorrow or not. Life is that uncertain on this earth. But eternal life is forever. Whatever your heart desires, your condition are today, come forward if you need to as we stand and sing the song has been chosen.